All right, our next speaker, continuing along with the ICD-10 theme, will be Donna Pickett. Donna Pickett is a medical systems administrator at the National Center for Health Statistics, CDC. Ms. Pickett serves as the NCHS technical lead for morbidity classification activities, which includes update and maintenance of ICD-10-CM and the ICD-10-CM official coding guidelines. Ms. Pickett is an active member of WHO's Collaborating Center for the Family of International Classifications for North America and participates in the work of updating ICD-10 and the development of ICD-11. Ms. Pickett.
Good morning, everyone. Going to continue on with a little more insight into the impact of the ICD-10 transition. Many people kind of think about, as Prachi indicated, you know, the coding aspect of it, and it really does go far beyond that. Now, just out of curiosity, is there anybody who used codes either through data analysis or evaluation prior to ICD-9-CM? Okay, so this is a big deal for all of you. The reason being, none of you have had an experience in actually transitioning to a new code set. The U.S. last transitioned for morbidity purposes to a new code set in 1979. So as Prachi's slide showed, that's 30 years of the use of one morbidity classification. Now, on the mortality side, and you'll see this later, there's been a lot of transition. WHO creates a new classification roughly every 10 years. So the mortality side has been through this, and again, as Prachi indicated, they migrated to the WHO version of ICD-10 back in 1999. So we're definitely behind the curve here and, you know, paddling like crazy to catch up. And I have no relationships to disclose other than my family would love to see me back again. This is my second convention in 2 weeks. So that's a disclosure. Okay, so what I'm going to do this morning is cover, in very broad terms, the impact of the transition on data, looking at some aspects of conducting analysis over time and across code sets, mapping to and selecting the appropriate codes for your particular universe, reconciling data in calendar year 2014, the impact on downstream users of data, and pointing out some additional resources that may be of interest to you. Now, currently, even though we've been using ICD-9-CM for more than 30 years, there has been some updates that have occurred over the last 30 years, probably more recently within the last 12 to 15 years. ICD-9-CM has been updated annually since 1985, trying to keep pace with current clinical knowledge and technology on the procedure side. But again, we were limited to a particular structure, so all of the things that people wanted to see in a classification could not be accomplished. But again, you've been doing this before, but this will be kind of like a stop and restart. The transition will change the way public health defines, identifies, and analyzes and reports on many health conditions. And I'll show you some examples of that a little bit later. And just so we know up front, there always will be some level of data discontinuity when you go from one code set to another. In fact, if there were no discontinuities, that basically would mean that the classification hadn't changed, which means that it wouldn't have kept pace with what was going on in the medical world. So, you know, it's expected and accepted because that's what clinicians really want to see. And there is no single best approach on doing this. I know in previous presentations I've done, you know, they keep wanting to have the one and final way of looking at things. But again, it is really what goes on in your program, what your area of analysis is, whether you're looking at a small picture disease specific or whether you're looking at broad categorizations. And again, you'll see some examples of that. So again, possible universes of data. You could be looking at a particular condition. The example I have here is asthma. So if you were only looking at big picture, you were probably looking at the three character categorization of asthma, or you could have been looking at the subcategories under asthma, and you were looking at whether asthma was intrinsic or extrinsic or unspecified. Or you could be moving a step up and looking at chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is the realm of all of the diseases that go from 490 to 496. But again, asthma is in the middle of that range. Or you could be looking at an entire chapter under which asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is part of. So again, it depends on the universe. And that's an important aspect because some things may have changed at a very detailed level for a particular condition. However, when you're stepping back and looking at chapter, things may not have changed in the complete view. So again, it depends on what your area of interest is. A lot also depends on what is it that you're receiving in the way of a data type. Are you getting from your partners or others data that's already been coded? In other words, there's no narrative, all you have is the coded data. And so you have a different set of issues that you have to deal with in that regard. Are you capturing self-reported diagnosis information, something that's been coded by a medical coder in a facility? Is someone abstracting narrative and giving it to you, and someone in your program is coding that data? Or do you have the benefit of actually being in a facility that has full medical record with full text? Complete clinical narrative is the gold standard if you're going to want to do a comparability study, and I'll go into a little bit more about comparability studies. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Again, there's no one standard for doing this. And many decisions will have to be made regarding the transition as it relates to your specific program or in working with your partners in looking at data. The mapping between code sets or not, as the case may be, for surveillance and research, statistical analyses, etc. And provisioning of public use data files, as Prachi mentioned, NCHS and other government agencies have data files that they put out there. But when they start to change their analysis based on the differences in the code sets, we're going to need to include information and instruction about where those changes have occurred that affect, say, the trend data, because 30 plus years of trend data has been 9CM based. You haven't had a hiccup in the middle of that, except for some of the areas where we've done annual updates and we gave you a hiccup because the clinician said, this doesn't represent what we do at all, you have to change it now. You can't wait until ICD-10CM. Now, some tools, some reporting tools, as Prachi mentioned, have already been modified. The external cause of injury matrix, the injury section of APHA, had a presentation last year where a draft of the matrix was presented and it's near finalization for this year. But at this year's session, Dr. Holly Hedegaard, who is also NCHS, presented the draft of the diagnosis injury matrix and is inviting comment on that. And then you have work by the cancer program that has already started to develop new frameworks based on ICD-10-CM. So some major reporting tools are already being looked at and have been revamped or at least still under discussion, but much work remains, not only at the CDC level, but for CMS, FDA. Any of the entities that actually use the codes will be going through similar exercises. So let's look at macro level, because I think the starting assumption is you're going to continue to use an ICD in your work. I mean, if you have an external partner, obviously, as Prachi mentioned, HIPAA-covered entities have to use the ICD-10-CM PCS codes. They don't have an option to do anything else. So if you're receiving that data from them, you can't expect 9CM data to keep coming through your door. They can't do it. So the decision you have to make is, what are you going to do with the 10CM, 10 PCS coded data coming through your door? And you've got a couple of things that you could look at. Some are better options than others, but here we're just kind of laying it all out for you as a way of provoking thought on these issues. Because again, you don't want to wait until October 1, 2014 to have the data coming in and you're standing there going, now what do I do? That's okay. It's like, now what do I do? So the major options, and again, there are variations on a theme. First is you take all the 9CM codes and you try to map them to 10CM, 10PCS. Well, that's only going to really work well if you have actual narrative. If you don't and all you have is the coded data, then what you'll likely do is use the general equivalence maps and try to make sense of it that way. And again, the way the maps are developed, it's all possible choices. So if you have a 9CM to 10CM map, the 10CM map is going to show you all the possible codes that could relate to your area of information. But then you have to sit down and look at those 10CM codes in the list and figure out, which ones do I really need for what I was doing? Or is it that your program is using them in a more restrictive way than the classification handles something? And you'll see an example of that later. Do you just want to start over and just say, okay, my trends end with 9CM, and I'm just going to start defining everything using 10CM and 10PCS? Because some of the clinical definitions are actually different, or the view of what that entity is may have changed. For instance, I showed you asthma. In 9CM, asthma is intrinsic or extrinsic. Very antiquated, outdated set of concepts, I might add. And pediatricians and allergists, et cetera, have been yelling at us for years. So they're kind of happy with what's in 10CM. But the problem is, if you've been relying on 9CM structure, the 10CM structure no longer has intrinsic or extrinsic. It's whether it's persistent, intermittent, and from there, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe asthma. So you do have a discontinuity there. And what are you going to go do with the data going forward? And at what level can you actually compare what was in 9CM coded data with your 10CM data, except perhaps at a 3-character level, which is, again, a broad representation? If you are reviewing a lot of data, it may be that you may want to look at a few areas specifically of interest to you and then use the general equivalence maps to look at everything else, or some combination of all of these. Again, there may be no best fit depending on what you are doing within your program or within your organization. And then lastly, which is my least favorite, but we put it up here because we've heard some programs and organizations are actually looking at this, which is taking all of your 10CM, incoming 10CM, 10PCS coded data, I see you going, oh no, and mapping it back to ICD-9CM. Well, yes, that will keep your data trended with 9CM, but you lose all of the utility of the enhancements that have been added to ICD-10CM and the richness of detail that is found in ICD-10PCS. But again, people are really concerned about trends because they've never been through this before. So it's a challenge and it's something to really start thinking about. Now, considerations for the mapping. As Prachi had indicated, you have one to many. And an example here is you have a code for congenital hydrocephalus, one code in ICD-9CM. It's now 4 codes in ICD-10CM. Some of those things were inclusions in the 9CM code, but there are some other things that have been added to one of the 4 codes that may be outside the area of focus for your particular program. So those are the kinds of things that you really need to look at. And then there are the many-to-one relationships. And the example here is for tuberculosis. In ICD-9CM, you had TB of the lung, and then you had additional information about the site, and then you also had information about how the diagnosis was confirmed. In 10CM for tuberculosis of the lung, we have one code. Clinicians said they really don't really care about how it was confirmed. They just want to know that the patient has TB. And if you really want to know how it was confirmed, there are lab coding standards that can be used to gather that information, so it's not buried in the diagnosis code. And that, so that provides a loss of detail if that was something that you were specifically looking at. There are new concepts in ICD-10-CM that don't have a predecessor in ICD-9-CM. Glasgow Coma Scale, underdosing, blood type, blood alcohol level. There's a number of things that are new to 10-CM, and those things may be important in terms of your future analytic work. But, you know, you have to figure out what are you going to do about that. But, again, it would be starting a new trend because, again, no predecessor in 9-CM. And then there are some codes that don't have a real good correlation because some concepts were taken down. WHO, who owns and copyrights ICD-10, upon which we build our 10-CM, doesn't have an international procedure coding system. So some things that they try to capture that are procedure-related, well, they kind of stuck it in as a diagnosis code. Well, because the U.S. has a very detailed procedure coding system, we took a lot of that stuff back out. But if it's something that was important in terms of your program activities, you may want to really look at it to figure out what are you going to do going forward. And we give you three options here, which is accept the loss and do nothing. Use an alternative translation. We have a bucket code, Z23, which is encounter of immunization, but it doesn't give you any of the detail that the 9-CM codes gave you about the type of vaccination or immunization. Or you can come to the Coordination and Maintenance Committee, which my staff and I maintain, and say, no, we really want those codes back, and submit a proposal asking for us to return the detail. So you've got a couple of options there. And I'm already getting proposals. We had a meeting in September, and a couple of organizations gave us proposals saying, we like the level of detail. You're doing a terrible thing to this program and this registry. So we're entertaining returning some of that detail. Identification or definition of cases. Asthma, again, is a good example. If you had asthma defined in your program for your surveillance activity, you may need to refine your definition and look specifically at the 10-CM categorizations to see what needs to be tweaked or whether you need to start over or whether it doesn't need to be tweaked at all. But it's something you definitely should be looking at before the data comes into the door. You may be identifying more or less individuals. Some of that may be specific to the change in the code sets. Or it may be because you focused on a particular aspect. For strokes, the codes in ICD-9-CM actually included TIAs, and there was really no way to tease that out as a unique code. 10-CM, you can tease TIA out. So you may just want to have your universe focus on truly stroke conditions and not the TIAs. And then you will have extensive collaboration. CDC will be working with CSTE to refine a lot of the definitions that were used for case finding. So there's a lot of examples of how that will work. Judgment is going to be needed, and everybody's judgment needs to be respected as you work out a consensus in terms of how things are going to go forward. You may change what you were doing because you see better detail in the new code sets that you didn't have available in ICD-9-CM. And again, it's collaborate, and get the discussions going early on. Prachi had mentioned the PH Connect. That is one resource. CMS on its website, and that was one of the links that Prachi had in her slide, I believe it's in mine as well, they've already done retooling of the MSDRGs. They started with the general equivalence maps, further refined them for reimbursement purposes, and they have a draft of MSDRGs in an ICD-10 coded world already posted on their website, available for people to comment on. So it's not like it's a done deal. It will go through rulemaking. There'll be a Federal Register notice. So if that's an area of interest to you, make sure you stay involved in all of that work because it is important. Okay, so, oops, did I? Okay, very quickly, 2014 is going to be a challenge. The code set implementation is based on a federal fiscal year, as it always has been for the last 30-plus years. However, what that does for your data, when part of that data is no longer in 9CM, will create some challenges. So, do you want to take your 3 months of 10CM PCS coded data and map it back to 9CM so that you have a whole year for 9CM? Or do you want to have your 9 months of 9CM stand as your estimate for the calendar year? Or do you just want to have a break and have 9 months of 9CM and 3 months of PCS and go from there? Or do you want to take everything and map it back or totally try to map it forward? Downstream users, because I think I'm probably running out of time, a lot of information to pack in here. Again, understand the origin of your data, your universe for selection and extraction of data. Understand the published reports and the impact on the reports that either you produce or will be reviewing, so like some of the NCHS reports. Interpretation of data, you know, do you want to start a new baseline, do you not, or do you want to do something else in between? There are slides in here that refer to mortality work. This is a slide that shows that there was a break in nephritis and nephrotic syndrome and nephrosis between versions ICD-8, ICD-9, and ICD-10. So, again, sometimes you can't have a real trend because of the changes in the classification. I'll skip this slide, but this is just to kind of give a heads up that sometimes there are other things that are impacting your data that may not be related to the code set, but you have to kind of figure out what that is. Possible trend approaches in representing your data. This is not from an ICD one, but it just shows that when there was a change in reportable labs, that when they started doing the report outs, they actually just called out in the slide where the break was so that you could see why there was a break, as opposed to trying to retrend and start over. And then possible strategies are included here. Many challenges. I think we're all up to it. Some of us may have never dealt with it before. But if we take advice from the mortality side that have done this every 10 years since ICD-4, I think we're up to it. And with a lot of the electronic tools, et cetera, it's doable. But it'll take considerable thought before October 1 hits us in 2014. And at that point, hopefully you'll have mapped out your plan and your strategy so that you're kind of like not overwhelmed by the tsunami of data coming in your door. And none of the links work, but we do have some additional links here for you. And with that, I will turn it back over to you, Stephen.